child, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends. That you can mend a heart that's frail.
You say that you're good. just what you say, that you're good and your love is great.
Hope Show listeners, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. I hope each and every one of you enjoyed celebrating Christmas and the birth of Jesus this past week. I hope each of you have shared a special time with your families, making wonderful memories. I know that we did here. In a few short days, we will all be bringing in the new year, 2020. I don't know about all of you, but every year seems to go by a little faster than the one before it for me. The years of the past have gone by at an alarming rate of speed, but these past 2 years have been a real whirlwind for me. Here, it's like the day is here one day and gone tomorrow. I mean, I know that's really what it is, but it just seems like from moment to moment, it's just gone. And so anyway, perhaps it is because I've traveled so much to be with my parents these past few years. My parents' needs and their health, and then Dad's passing, and now Mom needing some extra assistance with some minor things, and just wanting a little bit of extra company because of the loneliness. That's been kind of a priority for me, and it's kind of set a crazy schedule for these past few years. But I am blessed to have been able to live with my folks for at least one of those years when Dad was ill. And I'm still blessed to be able to be there for my mom in the capacity that I am. And then they're spending lots of amazing time with my husband and my children and grandchildren. It's all worth it. Let me tell you, it's really all worth it. Even though sometimes it can be kind of crazy and hectic and sometimes a little hard to balance it all. But it's worth it. It's worth being with those that you love, making the time. But the busier you are, I believe, the quicker the years do go by. Especially while also trying to balance some me time and time with God, health, exercise, and such. Sometimes it's just so overwhelming. And I'm sure that many of you out there can also relate to that. Anyway, enough about me. As I said earlier, in a few short days, we will be bringing in the new year. What are all of you guys going to be doing for the new year? Well, Shaziz and I are having all of our children and grandchildren over, and we're just going to play games and just maybe do some karaoke and eat a whole lot of snacks. And so that's what we're doing, just spending it with our children and grandchildren. Another good thing about that, too, is that New Year's Eve, Shaziz and I always celebrate our wedding anniversary. And our wedding anniversary is on January 1. And so we will be celebrating 11 years this year, even though we have been together a total of 17 and a half. But married years, it'll be 11 years. So if you're having some wine or some champagne on that night, then give us a cheer or something. So, anyway, have you set any goals for yourself this year yet? Well, I won't go into that too much because that is what next week's show will be about. But today's message is, why does God test our faith? All through the year, our faith is tested. So I want to get ahead of the new year and the challenges that it will bring. Before we get started, I'd like for all of us to bow our head in a moment of prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today with much thanksgiving in our hearts. Thank you for the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the sacrifices you have made on the behalf of your children. Thank you for leaving the flock to find the one who is lost, to bring him or her back home to the rest of the flock that is waiting. Thank you for your great love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness for each of us. Dear Heavenly Father, you know what victories and challenges we will face this coming year. We have faith and complete trust in you, knowing that you will never leave nor forsake any of us. You will be right by our side every step of the way through the year 2020, as you always are, all the time, no matter how young or old we are. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us to receive the new year with open arms, expecting blessings, through the victories as well as through the trials that will surely come our way. You never said life would be easy, but you did promise to always be there with us. Help us to apply all the 9 fruits of the Spirit to our daily life, such as true joy, love, forgiveness, patience. And those are just a few. Those aren't always all the 9. But give us, Lord, these things and help us to apply them to all circumstances, the kind that surpasses all understanding, even when we are under fire. Please give us the courage and the strength to fight our battles so that we may never give up. When our faith is tested, keep us firmly planted in the truth, so that we may not falter, but have patience in the waiting for our victory to come. Dear Heavenly Father, please anoint this vessel, and may the words I speak come straight from you and only you. We thank you in advance for these answered prayers. In your Son Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you for joining me in that moment of prayer, everyone. And so let's get started. First of all, how would you define faith? Faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. This is the Webster's Dictionary. This is how the Webster Dictionary defines faith. But the biblical definition in this is, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and faith is the connecting power into the spiritual realm which links us with God. Faith is the basic ingredient to begin a relationship with God. And with that having been said, I want to read a little bit of Genesis. Genesis 22, 1 through 17. After these things, God tested Abraham, and Abraham said to him, and he said to him, Abraham. And Abraham said, Here I am. God said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took 2 of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose, and went to the place of which God had told him. On the 3rd day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, I and the boy will go over there, and worship, and come again to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And then he took his hand in the fire, he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and so they both together went. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, My father? Abraham said, Here I am, my son. Isaac said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And so again, they both went together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay a hand on this boy, or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you will not withhold your son, your only son, from me. Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram and an offering. Offering it up was a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham named the place, The Lord Will Provide. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declared the Lord, because you have done this, and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and as the sand that is on the seashore. As you read more of the Bible, you will find that it is full of rich scripture, and even some messy stories of God's saints, and others of such obedience to God. It is not much different in our day as back in the early days of creation. They too sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Those days were also full of disobedience and obedience. But through the Bible, through all the disappointments and the failures, the ups and the downs, you can clearly see that God can and does work through broken people like you and I. God is always doing something behind the scenes to better our situation, whether you believe that or not. Faith is constantly tested. It is not a one-time decision that we make to follow God. Faith works like a muscle. It only gets stronger if it's strained. Scientists explain that when we exercise our muscles, making them grow, what we're actually doing is producing thousands of little tears in the muscles. And I know that doesn't sound very comforting at all. The thought of that just, ugh. But especially for all of those who are serious and faithful to our exercise regimens, just the thought of that being the case, you know, that we're actually tearing all these little muscles. But anyway, I'll probably never be able to get that thought out of my own head, actually, as I exercise each morning on my treadmill or I do my body groove thing. But anyway, scientists say that supposedly when your body recovers, it builds back muscle in those gaps, and the muscle gets bigger. And this, my friend, is also how faith works. God puts us in situations that tear our faith so that it can grow back stronger. Friends, when you come to Jesus and you receive your salvation, some of you may be under the false illusion that your troubles will vanish. But that's not how it works. That life, you think, you know, maybe perhaps after you're saved that your life will be easy sailing from that day forth, but you couldn't be more wrong. While you are still living in the darkness, listening to Satan's lies, he has you right where he wants you, and that is far away from God. Therefore, it may seem easier to not follow God. But I can assure you that the day you receive your salvation, Satan is going to be all over that. Suddenly, he sees a viable threat, and that threat to him is God. So now, Satan has to work even harder to get you back where he wants you. You come to Jesus, and pretty soon you will go through all kinds of things that will test your faith. And I don't mean to say that to discourage you from finding your salvation, but that's just the way it works. You know, you may lose your job. Your health may take a turn for the worse. People start turning against you. But it is at these moments that God is asking you, do you really trust and value me more than all of these things? That is where faith comes. Faith is the most important muscle in a believer's life, and God is committed to strengthening that. if we just hold on to that faith and that strength, and we don't slip back into our old ways and listen to Satan and his lies. But it is not how you get saved, but how you live your life afterward. Everything in a believer's life grows in the soil of faith. In testing our faith, sometimes God will bring us to the very brink. We think, this is too hard. I can't do this. Why is there so much pressure? My emotions are everywhere. Why are my friends treating me like this? I'm done. I changed my mind. This believer stuff, I just can't get it right. My life was easier before I was saved. All these bad things have happened since I have become saved. I thought my life would be better, somehow easier. But, you know, and sometimes I speak from experience, and I say sometimes, God, you must have a lot of faith in me, you know, because I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I know that God says he'll never give up on any of us or give us more than we can bear, but I know it's easy sometimes for us, some of us, depending upon the severity of our trials and tribulations, to think, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. You know, God has overestimated how much I can deal with. And so some of us will say, I can't seem to do anything right, so what's the use? But friends, take Abraham, for instance. God could have given him a son much sooner instead of making him wait. Immediately, in fact, after he promised it. But instead, if you know your Bible, for reasons that we are not revealed, God made Abraham wait almost 30 years before keeping his promise. For all of you who spend many hours a week exercising, then you know that if you want to see results, you have to put in the time and the effort to make it happen, right? And the point of all this is, if you really want muscle growth, it has to be pushed to the very brink. If God answered all of our prayers right away, then there would be no cause for us to rejoice and glory in the Lord. But, you know, not for faith. Sometimes we have to feel complete helplessness, complete brokenness in the face of our circumstances before we can cast ourselves in the arms of the divine promises. Some of us are slow learners, myself included. I remember wandering around in the wilderness, and it surely did feel like it took 40 years sometimes. I guess I can be pretty hard-headed and stubborn sometimes. I do know with age comes a certain amount of wisdom, and I knew, had I have known then what I know now, I could probably have saved myself a whole lot of grief. I had visions of being in a cartoon, and I just keep making the same mistakes over and over. And then a fellow cartoon character reaches over and smacks me on the head and says, "Wake up and fly right." Have you ever heard that expression before, "wake up and fly right"? It means to wake up from your stupor and start to do the right thing. Lay aside your ignorance and stubbornness, because it's not going to get you anywhere. In fact, it's more like being caught in quicksand. Perhaps right now, God is pushing you to the brink with something going on in your own life. Perhaps it's not pleasant. We don't understand. We're worn out physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. It's not a comfortable place to be. But friends, no one likes walking through the valleys. But it is there, and there alone, that God can show you his capacity to provide for you. He sends you into the storm to show you his ability to walk on water. Friends, I used to be a real mess, you know, some 20 some odd years ago, and I'm sure my husband over here playfully would say I'm still a mess, but anyway, I was a real mess on so many levels. I fully believe that God blessed me with Shaziz because he knew that I needed someone in my life, like Shaziz, to walk with me through the difficult times, to be my friend, teach me how to trust again in humanity, how to trust someone with my heart again, to mellow me out, to complement my nature, my personality, and for us to balance each other out. And I have to brag on my husband Shaziz a little bit. He is probably the most patient man I have ever met with people in my entire life. And let me tell you, anybody with any less of patience back when we first met 17 years ago would probably have walked right on down the road and as far away from me as possible. And left my loony self to myself. But Shaziz seen my value, my real value. He seen past all the pain and the disappointments in my life, all the people who had hurt me, and when I didn't even much like myself, Shaziz had enough love for the both of us, for me. It was that patience, his wonderful ability to make me laugh at nearly everything, his calm ways of talking me through things, his gentle approach in life, his ability to not sweat the small stuff in the grand scheme of things, his loyalty and faithfulness, his love, the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness that he's shown me every day, just as God shows you and I. And again, his patience, to let me work things through in my own life, in my own time, a constant in my life, never giving up on me, accepting me completely, unconditionally, and my beautiful daughter, never leaving my side, showing me the same love and patience, grace and mercy, loving me unconditionally always, and both of them always believing in me no matter what. Those are some of the most wonderful blessings that have carried me through time and have played a role in making me who I am and where I am today. But God gets the real glory and the credit, because without God, I wouldn't have these wonderful blessings and these wonderful people in my life. All my children now, and all my grandchildren, and my husband, my mom, just my friends, my brother, everybody. But it is during those tough times that God surrounds you with conflict so that he can show you that he provides a table for you among your enemies. You don't endure these tests by sheer grit. None of us have that kind of inner strength to exercise faith on our own. God tests our faith in order to know what is in our heart. And that is, you can see that in the verse in Deuteronomy 8:2. If our faith is weak, it may not be obvious when life is going smooth, because we're not challenged in any way. But when hard times befall us, then a weak faith will be revealed for what it really is. Weak faith is a shallow faith, and it is unable to help us through the difficult times. God tests us to make us realize how strong we really are. It's only when we are going through these difficult times that we find out just how strong we can really be. In Psalm 139:23, the Bible says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts." God isn't necessarily behind all of your hard times, but sometimes he may allow some of them to happen. But God can and does use these times to show us what our weakness is and in what areas that we need to work on in our own life. There are many, many scriptures throughout the Bible where God has tested people, and much scripture on what God has to say about the testing of faith. For instance, in Job 7:18, the Bible tells us God tests us every moment. Not some moments, not most moments, but every moment. God is scrutinizing every moment of our lives because he is our Father, and he takes his responsibility to love and care for us very seriously. And some of the other scriptures tell us that when we are tempted, God will help by providing a way of escape. Isaiah 64:6, Consider when God first started working with us. 1 year we were clueless. The next year things were making sense. And the more we read the Bible, the more we understand the Bible, and more importantly, we believe the Bible. And what about Christ's miracle of feeding the 5,000? People doubted. But he did indeed feed the 5,000. We just have to have faith. Friends, please stay tuned for after this short break as we continue with Why Does God Test Our Faith? And you don't want to miss the second half.
Guide my every way. Will I receive the words you say? Every moment of every day. Will I, will walk by faith? Well, even when I cannot see, will because this broken world your will for me. Well, help me to rid my endless fears. You've been so faithful for all my years. With the one breath you make me new. Your grace covers all I do. See, well, because this broken road prepares your will for me. Well, I will walk by faith, well, even when I cannot see.
Stronger, stronger than you know. The sun will soon be shining. They gotta face the clouds to find the silver.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining me here on The Hope Show today. If you are just tuning in, today's message is, Why Does God Test Our Faith? Few things confuse believers more than suffering. Many have struggled through the years with the question, why? Why is the question many of us ask of the Lord when something tragic happens in our life, or if other trials come our way that overwhelm us and leave us feeling depleted, just ready to give up. But in Romans 5:3-5, the Bible tells us, We also rejoice in our afflictions because we know that our afflictions produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who He has given to us. Rejoicing in the midst of suffering focuses our attention on the knowledge of what the Spirit is producing in us through our suffering. Endurance in the Bible means steadfast, staying to a course of action in spite of difficulties. But as we go through trials, we develop greater perseverance to deal with the increasing challenges in our lives. In James 1:2-5, the Bible tells us, Consider it great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the test of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete and lacking in nothing. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to you. endurance also releases character. As God produces a larger capacity in us to deal with more hardship, He also brings out more character in each of us. And character means to expose the quality of what's being tested in us, to expose our heart. We are called to live in Jesus Christ's image. He is the example that we must all strive to fulfill. Ask yourself, what would Jesus do? When you come upon something and you just don't know what you should do, ask yourself the question, what would Jesus do? And that will help you out a little bit as to maybe which direction you should take. But in the heat of our suffering, God gives us grace for us to endure. Picture this. There's a goldsmith, and he uses heat under a smelting pot, is what they call it, to bring the impurities to the top. And then he skims the impurities off, leaving only the pure gold behind. And in the same way, God uses our suffering to bring out the impurities in us and to remove them. 1 Peter 1:6-7, the Bible reads, "You rejoice in this, though now for a short time you have to struggle in various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perishes through refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Character releases hope in each of us. Our character sanctified by the Word becomes progressively more stable and is therefore able to focus more effectively on the things of the Lord. Character releases hope in our suffering. In Romans 15-13, the Bible says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." As disciples of Jesus Christ, we must use the hard times as a stepping stone to better our character, to harness who we really are in Christ. With every hardship, every struggle, every trial that we face, every test that we face, God finds us further transformed into pure gold for His glory. It's so amazing how all of this works out for our greater good, because God is good all the time. But whether we like it or not, whether we fully want to face the reality, every single one of us, believers and non-believers alike, will have to face a certain amount of trials and tribulations as we journey through this life. Friends, as a result of living in a fallen and imperfect world, the result of what happened in the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, every single one of us will have trials and tribulations. But if we have faith in God and patience to wait on His perfect timing, we will have victory in our life. Many believers even have lost part of or all of their faith at one time or another in their life. Perhaps it is just one trial after another. I believe we all go through seasons when we fall away from God's path, but we have to find our way right back onto His righteous path. We can't allow ourselves to stray. It is the only way to live if you want to spend eternity with God in heaven. And the Bible tells us that God's people can perish from having a lack of knowledge and not having the right kind of knowledge to fully understand why it is that we experience suffering in the first place, why it has to be. For without these experiences, we would not grow in our character. The Bible tells us that we must learn to become good soldiers of Jesus Christ. and learn how to walk with God's anointing in our life. Then we can either keep a lot of those storm clouds from ever hitting us in the first place, or we can quickly defeat them once they do come knocking on our door. I'm sorry to say that there is not any one of us out there experiencing some sort of trial in our life that will not be transformed. We'll have a stronger faith. We'll gain a stronger character. And that will, in the future, lessen some of the blows that come our way. If we just have faith in God to see us through, to understand, to believe that we are not going to perish, that God is going to see us through it, and that we're not alone. We have God on our side, and if we have God on our side, who can be against us? Remember, you know, we're just here for a short while. But you know what? It is truly a sad thing that there are so many people living defeated and joyless lives in this day and age. This world is truly Satan's playground. It is clear to see. All you have to do is turn on the TV, listen to the radio, watch some of the video games out there. Just go outside, visit a city, and just observe the people around you. And it's just so clear that we live right in the midst of Satan's playground. We live in a dark world, but we don't have to choose to be a part of those lies. Remember, we are only passing through. This is not our real home. Trials and tribulations do not last forever. It may seem like forever, but God's time and ours are not the same. Our 30 years may only just seem like a blip in time to God. Either way, we are faced with two options. We can throw in the towel and bail out on God. And with this option, you will never know the goodness that God has in store for you. If you had just hung in there just a little bit longer, keeping the faith. Or there's option two. We can take our trials and tribulations head on in the same exact way that David did with Goliath, and step out onto that battlefield, being led by the Holy Spirit as to which battle strategy to take and use against whatever challenge it is that we are facing. The first option isn't really even an option, in my mind anyway. It's the easy, cowardice way out. It's letting Satan win. It's being a quitter when times get tough. Friends, we have all been born into a war zone between good and evil. But what are we going to do about it? What will you do when your faith is tested? Will you fall apart, or will you dig your heels in deeper? Until the day comes when we finally depart from this earth to be with our Lord and Savior, we need to wake up each morning putting on the whole armor of God and taking on whatever life gives us as good, courageous, strong, and mighty soldiers for Jesus Christ. If you do as David did with Goliath, you have no idea how many other people that you may also be able to save or touch or heal and deliver in this life. If you remember, David was just a small person, and Goliath was a giant. And David said that he was going to go up against this huge giant, and the only thing he had was a rock. But you know what? God helped him through that time. And David, just a man, threw this rock, and he hit Goliath in the head. It was done. He defeated Goliath. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to step out on the battlefield with that kind of courage, with that kind of faith, that no matter how big our trials and tribulations are, we're going to hit it head on, because we know that with God by our side and in our corner, we are going to have victory over whatever that giant is in our life. But you know, we just don't have any idea how not only being the David up against the Goliath, we don't know. You know, sometimes we don't know how we're going to get through it. But we also don't know how we're going to affect other people's lives, how we're going to impact other people's lives when they witness and watch us go through these times and how we respond to those times. And the test of our faith will come in a variety of ways. Being a believer will often require us to step outside of our comfort zone and into the unknown. Perseverance in testing results in spiritual maturity and completeness. The testing can come in small ways and daily irritations. They may come from serious affliction and attacks from Satan. Whatever the source of the testing, it is to our benefit to undergo such trials. Take into account Job from the Bible. Job was favored by God and very blessed, but he too was tested. Job bore all his trials patiently, and he refused to sin, no matter what horrible things were thrown at him. He still remained a faithful servant of God. However, the account of Job's testing is proof that Satan's ability to try us is limited by God's sovereign control. No demon can test us or afflict us beyond what is ordained by God. All of our trials toward God's it's all for God's perfect purpose for our life and for our own benefit. And so, when things happen in your life, count it as pure joy. Instead of being so down and so negative and asking, you know, why? Why me? Why is this happening? You know, God doesn't love me anymore. No. No. It's not like that at all. Count it as pure joy that you are facing such trials and tribulations and afflictions. Why? Because God is changing you. He's transforming you through these trials and tribulations. He's making you stronger. He's growing your character. He's launching you into something far better for the future. You know, and there was something in my life a couple of years ago that I was going through a really tough, bad valley when my dad was ill, you know. And I don't ever question why me. I don't. And the reason for that is somewhere I read a long time ago, why not you? Do we think that we are better than the next fella? You know, because it's kind of like I read that and it just hit a chord with me almost. Because I went through a period of time where I was asking, you know, why me? You know, why me? And God put something in my path. And it was, why not you? Are you so much better than your brother and sister that you don't have to go through these trials and tribulations? And I have to tell you, friends, that stopped me right then and there, because I'm not better than any of you out there. And I would not even presume to be arrogant enough to think so. And so, God disciplines us just like we discipline our children. We discipline our children because we love them, not because we want to be mean to them or see them go through hard times. It's because we love them that we discipline them. And God is our Father, and He disciplines us for the same reason. We may not like it. Of course we're not going to like it. Who likes being disciplined? But friends, instead of thinking about why me, think of, yes, God, yes, Father, I know You love me because You're disciplining me, You're transforming me, and You're launching me somewhere else in the future that is far better than I could have ever imagined for myself. I know that it's very hard to do this, to think of it this way, whenever you're smack dab in the middle of a terrible storm. But try not to forget this very important message. When we experience trials and tribulations, afflictions and suffering, we should be like the tree that digs its roots down ever more deeply for a greater grip in this earth. We must dig our roots more deeply into God's Word and cling to His promises so that we can weather whatever comes up against us. And I believe that the most comforting of all, and I have reminded myself of this truth many, many times, and one of the most recent was, like I said, the year that my dad was so ill. God will never allow us to be tested beyond what we are able to handle by His power. His grace is sufficient for us, and His power is made perfect in our weakness. And that is why Paul said, "For Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Amen, brothers and sisters. Don't ever forget that. Friends, I also must add one more thing. Let your faith be bigger than your fear. Proverbs 12:25 states, "Anxiety is in the heart of man, causes depression. But a good word makes it glad." Fear and anxiety only tear a person down. God talks a lot about worry and anxiety and fear. And He says that worry is a sin. Worry is also doubting in God's ability to make things right. Worry, doubt. You know what that boils down to? Is a lack of faith in God. And a long time ago, I never thought of it that way. But when you worry or you have doubt in God, that shows a lack of faith in God. If you're constantly worrying over something or doubting whether there's going to be a resolution or not, then you are not truly, fully trusting and believing in God because there's a little tiny dab of doubt. You're putting limits on what God can do in your life. He is a big God. Take Him out of the box. I love this verse too. In John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, and My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So whatever is going on in your life today, friends, cast all those fears and those anxieties, all your burdens over to the Lord, because He really does care about each one of us. And He wants to help us through those difficult times. But sometimes we get in His way, and we limit what He can do. Take the limits off God. Stop putting Him in a box. Give Him all the control. Surrender yourself and your life to Him. And I promise you that you will never regret the day that you cast all those burdens on Him and say, "Lord, I surrender. I give my life to You to do with whatever You will. Let Your will be life and will be done in my life and not my will. Let me be more like You and less like me. When you trust God and you have complete faith in Him, you don't have to worry or fear anymore about anything. It takes all the pressure off of you because God is in control. You just have to believe and let God do the rest. In John 11:40, the Bible states, Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Every time you venture out in faith, you will find something in your circumstance that, from a common sense standpoint, will contradict your faith. But common sense is not faith, and faith is not common sense. They are two very different things. My question to all of you in this: do you feel that you can trust Jesus Christ where your common sense may fail? Where you think you cannot trust Him? Can you venture out with courage based on His Word and His promise? When you are on that mountaintop, it is easy to say, yes, God, I believe you can do it. But we must all come down off of that mountaintop sometime, and we will all find ourselves in the valley of darkness before we once again resume climbing back up that mountain. It is the ebbs and flows of our life. It's normal. It is the way that God created things to be. Just as quickly as you may say to yourself, "Yes, I believe," just as quickly, in the snap of a finger, a new testing of your faith begins again. You find yourself in yet another season of your life, a new chapter perhaps. And let me give you something to think about this coming week. Ask yourself this question and allow yourself to be honest with you. When my strength runs dry and my vision is blinded, will I endure this trial of my faith victoriously, or will I turn back in defeat? Friends, faith must be tested. Believe wholeheartedly in Him, and everything that challenges you will strengthen your faith. There's a continual testing in the life of faith up to the point of our physical death, which is our last great test. Faith is absolute. Trust in God. Trust that you could never even imagine that He would forsake us, because He won't. In our lives, there are many changing seasons that we will go through, from birth to physical death. We will go from feeling joyful and close to the Lord to grieving and feeling distant from Him. And that is normal for all of us. And it depends upon our circumstances. And with that, I want us all to bow our head in a closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us to make it through another year. Thank you that you have carried us through the uncertainty of deep waters, through the flames of trials, and through the pains of hard losses. We are constantly aware of how much we need you. Help us to first keep our focus on you in this next season of our life, in this new year coming. Please forgive us for giving too much time and attention to other things, for looking to other people before coming to you first, for doubting you. Thank you that you came to give us new life, new hope, peace, and joy. Thank you that your power is made perfect in our weakness. Please direct our hearts and our minds toward you. Thank you for reminding us that in both seasons of celebration and brokenness, that you are still always beside us. And in Jesus' name, and all the people said, Amen. Friends, I want to thank you for joining me today, and I want to thank you for joining me in this closing prayer. Until we join again next week, same time, same place, may God richly bless you and your family, and I hope that you have a very happy new year this coming week. Next time we are together, it will be 2020. And next time, I will be talking about goals for our next year on our next show. Just things, you know, goals, what we have in mind. Where do you want to be next year at the same time going into 2021? So, come back and join me next Saturday. And I love you guys. Hope you have a good week.
of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
Cross.
as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found. Thank you.